Carlina Rinaldi said, "Documentation in synthesis is an act of love through which you grow closer to the child, closer to a bigger effort that he's doing, but also you discover your learning processes as a teacher." This is Sandy Lanes, and on this episode of Awaken to Reggio, Dr. Naama Zoran, Reggio Children International Representative for Israel, challenges our often accepted notions about the identity of documentation. Naama returns with beautiful stories directly from the early childhood schools in Reggio Emilia that will both illustrate her revelations and touch your heart as together we become awakened to Reggio. I'm sure all my regular listeners already know Dr. Naama Zoran, but for those of you who are hearing her for the very first time, Naama is the Reggio Children International Representative for Israel and is known internationally as an expert in the Reggio Emilia educational approach. She's a developmental psychologist and for the last 40 years has worked with educational systems all over the world, leading them to high quality practice in their contexts. Every time she is with us, she uncovers a new aspect of the Reggio approach. And I can say, speaking for our listeners, we are so hungry for more. I'm so grateful that you're with us. Welcome, Naama.
I'm very happy to be back.
We are so glad you're back. And back is really the truth because you just returned from Reggio Emilia. Could you tell us about one of your experiences there that would help open our eyes to something that about this approach that maybe is often misunderstood, something we don't really know enough about?
I would like to give an example for something that really represents for me the commitment to quality. Reggio Emilia as a city has committed itself to education many, many years ago. Seeing the citizen as a person with competence and rights from birth is the lighthouse that they give us every day. Last month, I was visiting Reggio Emilia for like two major things. One is an annual event that is called the Reggio Narra, meaning in English, Reggio is narrating stories. The other thing was a seminar that I was a participant, a seminar for Italians, for people who are coming from all over Italy. And we were invited to visit a school in the afternoon, like when the children are not there. We could have chosen either a preschool or a daycare infant toddler center. I decided to go to the infant toddler center. And I had an experience there that was like uplifting, amazing, and very, very special. And I think it represents the depth and the commitment, as I said, for quality. We were given a time to walk like freely in the different areas. I went to the 2 years old class. In the room was a place with clay experiences. There was a table with four creations the children started and were working on. And in Reggio Emilia, when you start working with a material or like within any process, the table is not close itself like at 11:30, but it stays as is and waits for the children for the next day, for the following day. So I saw actually like four pieces that the toddlers, 2 years old, 2.5 years old now, the children were working on. And near that table, there was a binder. And in that binder, I had all the experiences from the beginning of September 2021 up until the day that I've been, the end of May. Like the whole process of learning, of researching, conversations, pictures that showed like the path of the learning that the class has done with clay. So this is my first point. This binder really it's like encyclopedia. It is a place that invites the teachers, the children, the parents to really work with the process, with themselves, with the children. It's not about today we did ta 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 ta, like what is going on in our newsletters, okay, yeah. All over the, not just in the States. Today we did this, we went here, we went there, here are some pictures. This is not that. It is actually the experiences the children had, comments that the teachers wrote while it was happening, questions that they were thinking about while they were like observing the children, and conversations that happened afterwards. So actually, any person, any teacher, any parent, and any child that wants to immerse himself or herself in the process can do it. If we are talking about like a concept that is misunderstood, it is documentation.
Yeah. How could you bridge for people the understanding of keeping all this beautiful continuity, the visibility of all of this, to what, how they would think about this idea of creating learning, as it were, the image of learning? What would the connection be?
So I'll tell you something that I think would bring tears in your eyes, because it did it for me. So while I'm with this binder, and I really wanted to talk with the teacher to hear from her how that all process came about. So usually when we visit, there are teachers that are staying for that visit, and we could talk with them and ask questions. I went to a teacher that I saw, and I said, I'm very interested in something that I saw in the toddler's room, if you could come with me. She came, of course. And I said to her, I'm holding this binder, and I read like the first day, like that they had the material. And I asked her, I really, really am interested to know, what have you thought, and what led you to the options and possibilities that you gave after the first day? Okay. Now, this is what she said to me. The first question that we need to ask ourselves as teachers, we need to ask ourselves, what are the things on which we would like to observe? And this is before I give the first context with the material. And when I enter with the children on that initiation of the experience, I already have something that is interesting for me. Hmm. And this is the focus of the observation. If I see things that I haven't thought about, but they are like intriguing, surprising, of course, I'll write about them too.
It's not just, I'm putting the clay out and seeing what they do. It's not as open as that. It's truly with a curiosity on the teacher's part about something more than that.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And it comes with a knowledge. It comes with something that existed already, whether it was with children before or other experiences that they've had.
It could come from many places. And usually they talk about it in a staff meeting where each of them is sharing from the team of the class. Now we're talking about the beginning of the year. From what I've seen up until now, I think that maybe the main thing would be from the children to really explore the material. Or I think we will have children that will start like this or like that. Like it could be anything. But the thing is, you are not entering like in an Let's see what will happen. This is not how they enter to anything, by the way. There is always like a thread of thought that you are taking with you. Now, maybe it will be something that will change through the experience. Maybe it will be something that needs more time to be revealed. Maybe like million of maybes. But the inner place that we are coming with is with, as you said, a curiosity, because I want to learn. I'm not just coming, okay, I gave it to you, now you'll play with it, and after 20 minutes, we will move to the next station. It's not that. I'm a learner too, and I want to walk with you through the experience that we will have. And she said to me that, so the first one was, what are the things that we would like to observe? She said, I'm as an adult, I also need time. Time for me to understand what is happening and what might happen. Sandy, this is like profound.
Thinking about at the same time, what is happening, but also what might happen really changes the role of the teacher as they're sitting there.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is like the thing that where I see the misunderstanding about documentation. Most of the documentation that we are seeing is descriptive. It's all about what we did. In Reggio Emilia, the goal is not to describe the actions. It is to narrate, to give a story that has in it not just a list of things that happened, but interactions between children. It could be like nonverbal communication that children had with each other. It is more about the learning process. It's not about, like, let's say the skills. They cut it, they created like a ball, they created, no, it's not that. It's really, really, really to focus on how children learn. And from that, what is my role as a teacher while I'm with them in the different experiences?
So as you, as the teacher, are present in these moments with the children and also planning outside of those moments and thinking about and reflecting on interpreting what you've seen, could you give an example of where that took them somewhere during the year that would help us understand like how this interpretation then became something that was offered back to the children in some way?
I think the most important thing to understand, and I just want to give it to you in her words. She said to me, everything depends on the questions, on the question, sorry, whether I am curious. And curiosity is a place that must be always open. And this is the example that she gave to me. She said that on that day, she was in the younger children room. In that room, she said, there is a place where the sun is like coming in. And she said to me, the richness of a child's hand and my hand is the same. Because we can do the same thing. The competence is the same. But the ways to bring out the competence are different. So she said, I was sitting and there was like children near me. And I took like a disc
Oh, like and a CD.
Yeah. And I started like waving with my hand like this.
In the light.
In the light to catch the ray of light. And then a child brought something different, small, and in a very, very gentle way, did the same movements that I was doing. Now, I don't have this gentleness anymore. I cried, Sandy. I just cried.
Wow.
First of all, the child is competent is not a slogan in Reggio Emilia. It's a value. It is a reality. The pedagogical awareness of the teachers about what does it mean to see a person from birth as competent is very, very special and solid. It's not just words that all of us are saying, yes, children are competent, ta-ta-ta. No. The ability to observe, first of all, to be with him and to observe, but in a very poetic way. It wasn't like, today, Naama took this stone and took it left and right. No, it's not that. If she will write something, she will write about what she said, about how the competence is there, but the ways are different, and how children have things that we later do not have anymore.
It feels like this idea of competence, where often it's spoken about as just they're capable of things. In this situation, it's the belief that they
exactly
know things that maybe they could teach us, that they see beyond often where we're seeing and the beauty
now,
of that.
As of your question, let's say, okay, today I was playing with the disc, he was playing with whatever he brought. And I saw this gentleness. Now, I didn't know that this is what I see. I'm still with the uniqueness of how they see documentation. I cannot say to myself, on Tuesday, I'll see gentleness. I do not know about it. This is like what Malaguzzi said. It's like working with children is like one third certainty and two thirds uncertainty. For her, this might become something that she would desire to explore, not just with him. Now she might be observing where does she see gentleness in other areas in the class.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, that things emerge from the daily life. And it is my responsibility and my commitment and my curiosity and hundreds of adjectives to really work with the daily life, not just with, oh, clay, yes. In November, I want them to know how to cut it. Yes, I do want them to have this capability to cut it, but it's not like what we are doing, like this will be in November and this will be in January. They do not know what will happen in November if they are in October. And you know what? They're not interested yet in November because they want to work with the child, with the children. They're coming from a very humanistic place where the person is my main focus. I'm repeating this sentence of working with, because you know that one of the misunderstandings that we've talked about it is working after the children's interest. No, it's not after, is with. If there is an interest, I'm with you. If it is something that I brought as a teacher, because this is what our school is now doing, it is with you. So first of all, this difference is very, very important. I think this humanistic point of view bring them to a place where they're not running after the skills. We are running after the skills.
We're doing everything in order to check to some boxes something. Of skills.
Exactly. They know that the skills are there and that when the conditions that we are creating are developmentally appropriate, challenging, rich, and all of that, the skills would bloom. We are wasting a lot of time because, oh, they need to know the ABC. Oh my God, this is like, wow. In Reggio Emilia, the child is seen as literate from birth, which they are. Especially nowadays, you see toddlers, you know, talking with the phone, taking pictures. They know.
Sometimes better than we do. Yes.
Yeah.
They can all open the phone somehow, even though we have passwords. I don't know how they do it.
And also, they use the keyboard. I'm writing. Yeah. If we say children are competent, we need to believe that they have it inside. If they don't have it inside, I cannot say that they are competent because then it's empty. Then she ended and said, after she told me about this boy, she said, when it happened, I was really moved. And that says that my curiosity is still open.
Wow.
So people are asking me, like, okay, I have my notebook, you know them, and I'm writing. So the friends that I have in Reggio, like, you know, pedagogista group, and they say to me, what are you still writing in your notebook? It's like so many times that you can. I said, every time, it's like a kaleidoscope, another color, another angle. It's like unbelievable.
That is exactly how they see the children. That exactly. Always another color, another lens, another, yeah.
We really brought here a very important point about the real meaning of documentation, where the documentation is a partner, very active partner, collaborative, participatory. And this is how we need to see it. Not as something that oh my God, who would write today the piece for the parents?
I'm going to delve a little bit deeper. I don't want to move away from documentation, if that's okay, because I think there is so much confusion. There's so many questions about it, so many concerns that it somehow removes the teacher from the moment and that sort of thing.
I want to catch a sentence that you said, because I hear it a lot. It takes me away from the children. On the contrary, it demands you to be with the children. First of all, they don't take like million pictures like we do. This angle, that angle. They come in, as we said at the beginning. We said yesterday, you and I, we are working together. And we talked about the following day. And we decided that we are continuing with the theme that now we are working on. Let's be concrete. So let's say we were talking about, we have another 10 days to the end of the year. We are in the 4 years old class, let's say. And our group would move to become the 5 years old. And we have started to talk with them about it. Now we are sitting with what we wrote yesterday and today and the day before. And let's say that today we had a conversation with, you know, with the assembly or with a small group about what does it mean to be a five-year-old in our school. The children gave responses. Now, if we wouldn't have written the responses, there is no way that we would be able to remember exactly what was said, but much more important, the sequence of the conversation, the sequence and how children are related to each other, and where did they come in and say something. This cannot be part of what I have if I haven't written it. We want to create like traces that walk with us. Let's say from the first day that we have started talking about the threshold, you know, that we need to cross for the five-year-old class, the traces are connected to each other, you know, from the first day to the second, to the third, to the fourth. Then it could go back to the third, jump to the fifth, etc. I think that when we explain it in this way, that if we really want this move to be deep, we need to really understand what do they think, what do they feel, how do they relate to each other. It's not just to give them strategies. I'll give an example. Teachers are saying, what could we take from our class and take it with us to the other room that we would move? This is a strategy. Now, it's a beautiful strategy, but a strategy without, you know, the whole construction of meaning, value, memories, legacy, like, I mean, without that, it will be very, very pale.
It's just an object moving from place to place. Exactly. Rather than...
Yeah, we want to take this picture that is now it's not on our wall, we will move it. But it's not the picture. The picture has the memories of how we did it, why we did it, why did we hang it here. Maybe we would like to go now to the other room that will be our room and see what do they have and how that could connect to that specific room. So without really, again, immersing ourselves in the meaning, just the strategy that I saw on a site somewhere, the potential will be very, very narrow. You and I heard it not once and not twice. Okay, so you know what? We asked them what we could take, but they were not interested. True, because just what I'm a mover, that I'm now moving the furniture from here to there. No. If it is without the emotion and the feeling, and the documentation gives us, you know, like the, it's like a spine that would enrich the strategy and would give it meaning.
I'm always so captivated when you're speaking. I can't even breathe almost. So you were kind of speaking about endings or moving to newness, moving to new places as an example. And I think this is such a good time to be thinking about beginnings. I'm wondering, using maybe some examples from the way the people in Reggio Emilia are thinking about this, what are some ways that we can really deepen our approach to this new beginning?
Okay, so what would be a focus for me this year? So choosing a focus. Of course, what would be a focus for the threes, four, five, or two, three, four, five? So this would be one thing. And what would be a value, one value that I would like to really go in depth?
Could you, is there something that you know is sort of happening in Reggio Emilia, either last year or this year, as the value or the focus that you could share with us?
They have every year, they have an intent for the year. It's a different way of thinking. Like, intent for the year means that we take a theme. Specifically in Reggio, they have a theme that, one theme, that all the network of schools will be participating in, and each school could choose their focus under that intent. Last year, it was about observation. Observation as a component of listening. Sandy, poetry in motion.
Yes. Sometimes these intentions that when people hear them, they think they sound quite lofty, as only adults could sit and have thinking and thoughts about those. Can you share, like, on the ground, how did something around this idea play out, right? And, you know, with the children, a big idea like this.
The perception of the intent, let's say, in the States, but not just in the States, I mean, but outside of Virginia. People connected it to something that you need to do with the children. Here, it could be, okay, the observation is a tool. Of course, in Reggio, everything is like a place. It's not just a tool. Like, okay, now I'll write, Sandy took the clay, put the clay, took the plague. Yeah. No. Let's say that as an adult, for us as educators, we decided we use it. It's part of like what they do. It's not like this month would be the month of the old observation. It's like how they breathe, they observe. Like
It lives there.
Yeah, it's part of the life. And so they could say it could be that. For us, we would like to really learn about the meaning of observation for us and how it comes about, like in our daily life. And the work with the children would be on something that they will observe. So in that way, we are deepening our understanding about what does it mean to observe? And the theme that we observe is like the process with the children. For this year, it was like how children develop and use symbolic thinking. But you see what I mean? Anyway, we are observing. It's part of what we do. So we would learn about the observation, and the field of research would be symbolic system.
It makes me think about the story that you told earlier about the richness of a child's hand, that seeing it through their eyes teaches us so much.
Exactly. Like, she was observing. By observing, we mean that, again, it's everything that we said today. It's like, you're interested in what you see, you're interested in what you gave, you are interested in the relationship that you'll have with this boy or girl. She was observing him, but not from here.
Not from the cognitive, just
cognitively. Wow, he brought a stone. Wow. And then he went back to the shelf and brought another. Of course, she will know to herself that he brought a stone, but I think that I would like people to understand that if you document to just for giving a report, stop doing it. No need to do it. There is no need. or just because it's your turn today to send something at 5 o'clock, don't do it. Invent something at 4:30. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you really want with children and to really care about what they do, then ask yourself a question before you enter. And don't let your brain derail you, but stay with the question. And then what you'll see after 20 minutes, you'll see a narrative, not a report. And then what you'll send to the parents on that day wouldn't be a report.
Yeah. This all makes me think about, well, just the word care. When you said the word care, I think that is the way that we, if we approach anything with the children, if we approach documentation with that, that it will elevate everything that we're doing. I feel so uplifted by this. I feel like we all have now a charge going forward of a new way to walk into our classrooms, a new way to think about what does it mean to document? What does it mean to be with a child? And I thank you so much. I learn so much every time. I've known you for years and you always open something new for me. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you.
And could I say one more sentence?
Yes, always, always.
I cannot count the times that I said to people, there is a sometimes that teachers write something. Let's say they describe a birthday or something that really was like, let's say, the core of the day. And it's beautiful. It really shares like the things that happened and around it, let's say, like feelings. And then they write. After that, we went outside and played. Please, I'm asking all the people who are listening, don't add this. It takes away from the beauty that you just have given. This is like the difference between a narrative that wants to give a gift because you weren't there and you are given a gift of the relationships, the beauty. And this is the difference between giving this beauty or I'm still giving you a report because you must know that afterwards we, and sometimes it's like after that we ate snack. Who cares?
Stay with the beauty.
Stay with the beauty.
Wow. Thank you. You always take us to that place.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait to our next one.
Next time, me too. I have more questions ready to go.
If you would like to know more about my wonderful guests or the Reggio approach, please go to my website at sandylanesconsulting.com or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.